This is Donna. When I'm not hosting Jazz on the Air, the first Sunday of the month at 2:30, I'm bringing you the Concert Billboard. And this is your WUSB Concert Billboard for Sunday, April 21st. Wayne Newton will be at the NYCB Theater at Westbury. Naomi Sheldon and the Gospel Queens will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport at 3 p.m. Sterling Sachs will be at Vito's Pizza in Port Jefferson, 5 p.m. The Spirituality of Bob Dylan, Miles to Dayton Trio, Cassandra House, Robert Brewey, and Martha Trachtenberg will be at the Congregational Church of Patchogue in Patchogue at 7 p.m. The Brooklyn Folk Festival presents Tim Erickson, Ian Link, 4 O'Clock Flowers, and Jeffrey Lewis at the Bell House in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Sessions 99 will be at a jazz brunch at Big Daddy's Massapequa. The King Cobras will be at Big Daddy's 6 p.m. The University Cafe welcomes James Maddock 2 p.m. Your concert billboard for Monday, April 22nd. Cat Webb will be at Zerzamin, New York City, 6 p.m. On your billboard for Tuesday, April 23rd, the Folkadelics will be at Urban H2O in Yonkers. Looking ahead to Thursday, April 25th, Marshall Crenshaw will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 7:30.
This has been your concert billboard for this week. Tune in to WUSB each day to hear more about your favorite performers and where they're playing. Or go to the online concert billboard at WUSB.FM, which has a schedule for upcoming months so you can plan ahead. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. And this week, we're asking you to give generously to WUSB. Call 631-632-6901 and pledge now. Thank you.
And it's 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. That means it's well overdue for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And this is the last of our fundraising shows. That's right, it ends. I believe it ends on Sunday. So this is the last time that we will be asking for your support in this particular slot. And I should point out, we've made the goal of the show every week so far. So it'd be great if we made the goal this week as well. But please, I know people are running to the phones right now. We have to wait for Finn to get back from his car because he forgot something. And, oh, I hear the door closing, so I think he's back. Welcome back, Finn. I was just stalling for time while you ran to your car. Did you get what you forgot in your car? Okay. Did you bring any for me?
No.
Oh, that's how it is. Well, it's okay. It's okay. I was actually a little bit late, so I'm happy that Democracy Now! Ran late because I would have been late anyway. I had to get coffee down the hall.
Very important.
It is important. It gives me energy. It gives me, I don't know, sometimes I kind of lag a little bit, but this peps me right up. But, you know, it bugs me every time I go there. I'm not going to say brand names or anything like that, but what size is this? Come on, say the word.
Why are you asking me?
Just, you know the word, right? What's it called?
Medium.
No, that's, first of all, that's wrong. It's large.
Large.
Yeah, but what's the word they use?
Grande.
No, vente.
Vente.
Yeah, I don't even know why I know this. But the thing is, I listen to everybody, because there's a long line for some reason. Everybody decides to go at the same time. And they all use that language, what they never use unless they're on that line. I don't know if there's four of them, right? There's, I think, tall is the first one. That's small. Why does tall mean small? I don't understand it. But everybody, they just obediently use that particular word. And I always say large. Yeah, I'm a bit of a dick. I go there and I say, I want a large coffee.
Yeah,
and they look at me like I'm speaking Greek, which, you know, shouldn't be a problem.
I'll just say coffee.
Wait, that's even worse because you have to sort of describe it a little bit.
Well, usually I say a large coffee. I don't think large is...
hot, cold, you know?
Well, it's always hot. I would assume that when people normally ask for a coffee that they mean a hot coffee unless they specify otherwise.
Yeah, I made that mistake in the city the other day. I specified a large coffee. I forgot to say iced and I got hot.
Well,
you know, I didn't complain because it was my fault, but...
But that would be the default, I would think, would be a hot coffee.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, an iced coffee is a lot better for, you know, running down the hall and being able to drink it right away, too. But I just don't go for this whole lingo thing. And we do this in so many other ways, too. We have our little code words to prove that we're with the in crowd. We do that online. We do that offline. And I'm always the person that says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be somebody who tries to fit in.
Right. But the problem with that is that eventually,
mm-hmm.
like, for example, with online lingo, you do fall into that.
Give me an example. Give me an example of how I have fallen into it.
Well, I can't give you that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I can't give you that. But people do. I don't think I've ever actually written LOL, but I know people who
LOL what now? Yeah, okay.
I know people who've sworn they would never, ever write it, and they write it regularly.
I just cannot stand that. I can't stand memes. I can't stand these little...
Smiley faces?
I mean, you know, I'll do a smiley face online. I'll do a smiley face. I will not do a smiley face in print. People
okay.
do that.
Yes, they do.
And why would you say LOL? I think there was a whole Curb Your Enthusiasm about somebody who was saying LOL. It's like, why don't you just laugh out loud, for God's sake? So, yeah, it's all about fitting in and doing what everybody else does, which is silly. And, you know, it's social media. You shouldn't take it that seriously. I think we learned today, don't trust what you read on Twitter. You know, did you hear about this?
That is true. Yes, I did. Go ahead.
The Associated Press got hacked. Well, last week, CBS News got hacked.
Right.
But today, the Associated Press got hacked. Somebody got into their Twitter account. Oh, my God, how did they do that? They guessed the password. They found out the password. They social engineered the password. It's not hard to do.
What was it? AP1?
I don't know what it was. I have nothing to do with it. But the thing is, it's not hard to do this because the front end of Twitter simply is a password. So you have
right.
the username, which in this case was AP. I'd like to know how they got a two-letter username. I kind of like to know that.
They're special.
Yeah, I guess. Well, and we shouldn't complain. We've got 2,600, so that's
password
kind of
special. Password was AP1, probably.
It might have been. It could have been. You're right. Yes. Could have been anything. But the point is, once you get that password, you're in. It doesn't matter what kind of software they run locally. What matters is that all you need is that password, then you can tweet away. Now, unfortunately, the folks who did this didn't have the style down. They didn't know that when you say breaking, it's supposed to be all caps. They didn't know to refer to Obama as President Barack Obama instead of the way they said it. So right away, things stood out. It's like when you get one of those notes from your bank that's filled with misspellings in email. It's like, take the time to at least get the grammar right.
You know it's not from your bank.
But apparently, you know, they did it very quickly. It was obvious to people who pay attention. It wasn't so obvious to a lot of others. The stock market plunged. As soon as it was announced that it was a joke, it went back up. And the announcement was that the White House was attacked and Obama was injured or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't read the actual text of the thing.
Not
I just
very
heard
funny.
It
not a funny joke. Yeah. I would have done something a bit more subtle than that.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Like the stock market is plunging. Something like that.
And that would have, of course, sent the stock
Well, it wouldn't have been untrue because I would have said it, right? And then the stock market would have plunged hearing that.
Like
and then it would be true. It would be, yeah. Life imitating tweet or whatever.
Exactly.
So, but the thing is, this happened and people believed it, and you should never believe things that you read on Twitter. Now, a great example of this is what happened last week. Now, last week, oh my God, what a week this was.
Yes.
It had an effect on me, the whole incident to start with. I was depressed for most of the week just seeing the after effect of that horrible action last Monday.
Sure, yeah.
And I guess I wasn't expecting it so much, but I you know, it's sort of like innocence being attacked and people just gathered to watch this historic event that takes place every year and to have it just destroyed like that. And, I just hope that it's not destroyed forever, that people will come back and not be all paranoid and filled with surveillance everywhere. And then seeing the reaction to that, I guess, had a lasting effect that I wasn't expecting. But then after that, just watching all of the reaction to the pictures, first of all, getting the pictures so quickly and figuring out who was behind it was very interesting to watch. And then seeing what happened after that with the chase, with the shootout, with the lockdown. Really crazy and went on for days. But one of the things that happened in social media, I'm like, God, my pen seems to have exploded. My hands are all covered with ink now. Why'd that happen? Ugh. All right, I'm sorry. So one of the things on radio that you just don't see, one of the things that happened, if you read social media or if you read the comment boards on various news sites, mm-hmm. you saw that these guys were identified long before they were identified publicly.
Correct.
Yeah, and
so were lots of other people.
Actually, Finn, incorrect, because the name Mike Mulligeta.
Well, the names are incorrect.
And Sunil Tripathi were the two names being passed around. Now, Sunil Tripathi is this Indian guy who went missing last month in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Mike Mulligeta is, but he was supposedly the guy who was shot and killed, the older of the two. And this was, it was not on the media. It was not being reported anywhere on CNN or Fox or NBC or anything. But if you read the comments, everybody was saying, no, these are the guys. They're covering it up. They're not giving out this information. And then if you put these names into Google, you got tons of responses, every single one saying, yeah, these are the guys. These are the two guys. Obvious who they are. It spread like wildfire. But
yes.
It wasn't true. It was false.
But the visuals were correct, and I believe the visuals were picked up, or at least some of the visuals were correct. I believe the visuals were picked up by
what do you mean
internet
by visuals?
Watchers. These photographs. Mm-hmm.
The photographs. Yeah, the photographs were correct. But, you know, right. It's not hard to find people who look like that.
That is correct.
Yeah, and that's apparently what people did, and it started spreading. But there was no actual confirmation. And can you imagine what that family, the poor guy who's missing, went through.
Right.
Thinking, not only is he missing, but now he's a terrorist.
Is he still missing?
I believe so.
Okay.
And, you know, if he wasn't missing, or this other guy, I don't know, this Mike guy, must have been going through hell as well if he was being fingered as the person responsible for it.
Sure.
And other people were as well. Of course, we had the Post do their usual bang-up job of identifying the wrong people. And all sorts of horrible things like that. And that is an indication of the mass media getting it wrong. Yes, they do get it wrong. It's not just social media that gets it wrong. But the Post is like, okay, what happens if you give basic, just plain Twitter people or social media people a newspaper, you know, with no accreditation whatsoever? That's what you get. You get the New York Post.
Right.
So
it's the race to get the news out and attempting to be right. No doubt they were mm-hmm. attempting that. But kind of stabbing in the dark very often and going with information that is not verified.
But, you know, that said, the mass media had their fair share of screw-ups as well. I mean,
yes.
I was watching, and this is great because through my Canadian dish, I can get Boston TV stations. It shouldn't have to be this way. I shouldn't have to get a dish imported from Canada and have all these schemes going on just so I can watch that among many other channels. But Boston, Seattle, those are two cities that I have full coverage of. And I was able to simply see what was going on live. Everybody should have this ability. I mean, you could do it online, yes, but it's kind of crappy, kind of choppy, and also it's prone to being controlled one way or another by your internet provider. But I was able to just go from four different channels over there, and they were reporting things that were simply not on CNN. For one thing, that the first suspect was killed. It took CNN something like 3 or 4 hours to mention that. Instead, they showed a naked man being put into a squad car. You see, this was a
yes.
naked man,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was watching this, and there is okay. There was one guy who was killed. There was one guy who was on the run, and there was a naked man. That's three people, you know, and nobody was explaining who the third person was. I had to find out, and Mike and Sunil, those guys who weren't even being mentioned at all. That was irrelevant, but you know, it took many, many hours for the stories. They weren't even watching each other. They should have been paying attention to other news outlets and sharing information. They were not doing that. And that just led to all kinds of conflicting stories and allegations of cover-ups and things like that. So you had that. You had all kinds of mayhem and craziness. Then you had the lockdown. What do you think of the lockdown?
Well, you know, I think that the... clearly, I think that certain reporting is accurate after the fact, obviously, which is, for example, that the police were clearly, the FBI and the police were clearly soliciting help from the public. And I think they did the lockdown because they weren't quite sure what was actually going on at the time and thought there was imminent danger to people. And mm-hmm. clearly the point of the lockdown was to... If any of them were going to be moving, they'd be the only ones out.
I think, you know, it seems absurd and bizarre to lock down an entire city looking for one guy. But I think if you asked around, the vast majority of people would have said, you know what, we're staying inside. We're quite happy to be locked down on a day like this.
And that's how it seemed, right?
That is how it seemed. So, you know, I'm not going to go out there and say that they screwed up, they did a bad job, or even that the FBI missed the ball on finding the people in the first place, because we don't know exactly what was going on. We will. We'll find out more. But in this particular case, it seemed like this is what the best move was, even though it was a crazy type of a scenario to even be dealing with.
Right.
What bugs me is the fact that we don't take other horrible crimes as seriously, and that something like the Newtown shooting is not treated with the same gravity as this. How is it any different? How is it any different what these guys did to, say, Columbine? All right. How is Columbine not an act of terror, but this is? Just because they're Muslim, just because Islam might have something to do with it? First of all, you know, I've seen a lot of reports that, yeah, these people were from Chechnya or Dagestan or whatever, which, by the way, it's the Caucasus. Is that how you say it? The mountains there?
The Caucasus.
Where the Caucasians come from.
Right.
It's all throughout. They're looking for dark-skinned people. You know, these people are the epitome of Caucasian because
right.
that's where they're from.
They're literally Caucasian.
Literally Caucasian. And just no one was getting that. And yeah, we're still looking for Arab-type people.
Well, I think that's your trigger right there. I think that the hint or the insinuation of foreign nationals being mm-hmm. involved in some manner is what makes all that happen.
So if the Columbine guys were Arab or maybe a Muslim, then it might be a terrorist act.
Right.
If the Newtown shooter, if that the lunatic in Arizona who shot a congresswoman and,
right.
and killed a bunch of other people, was that classified as an act of terror? That's political, for God's sake. If you subscribe to the notion that terrorism has to be political in nature. How much more do you need than that?
Yeah, it absolutely is terrorism. Mm-hmm. But whether or not it was officially declared so, I don't recall that.
I just think that anytime you have a lot of people living in fear, as many people do these days, that is a form of terrorism.
Sure.
And we see that constantly with the way people are afraid of mass shootings and all kinds of other things as well. Yeah, this was a bomb. This was different. This is the kind of thing that happens all around the world every day, unfortunately. Other than that, not much of a difference.
No.
I think, a weapon that can fire 30 rounds in a couple of seconds or less is a weapon of mass destruction just as much as something you put together with whatever it is you put these things together with. And the reason we don't see as many of these things, we talked about this before, it takes effort. It takes some degree of commitment to construct one of these things.
Right.
Whereas you have a gun in your pocket and you get angry, bang, that's it. You know, it's right there. It's a one-piece solution as far as eliminating your problem.
Clearly they had plenty of guns as well.
They did, but they didn't use them nearly as much. In the shootout, obviously, they did, but they didn't use it for terror thing. But yeah, obviously that's a problem as well. And that's, I guess, they're looking into how they got those. But the other thing that happened, well, first of all, there was also that, people are forgetting this, that fertilizer plant explosion.
That's right.
What a week. Oh, my God. You had the bomb, you had the ricin letters, I'll get to that in a second,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the fertilizer explosion. Now, it's a horrible thing, and first of all, they were reporting something like 60 people killed. Turned out it was only 15. I don't know how. You saw the video of the poor kid who lost her hearing temporarily, I hope. Her dad was filming it from a car from a distance, it looked like, and then bang, the thing went up, and they say it was just like nuclear Armageddon. It wasn't, folks, just like nuclear Armageddon, believe me. That would be very different, but it was really something else.
It was a massive, massive explosion.
Now, the massive explosion happened because there was a fire in the plant. Okay, accidents happen, but I just think it's weird how we're kind of forgetting about it. We're not really looking into it. This happened maybe not in the town of Waco, but an adjunct to Waco, very close to Waco.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened 20 years, almost to the day. I think it was one day short,
one day off
of the fire that took out all the people in Waco.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they take out Oklahoma City? Fertilizer bomb, fertilizer plant. How did that fire get started? That's what I would like to know. And no one seems to be talking about that.
Right.
Just seems like an awfully odd coincidence that would happen
day. Well, it's the same thing with the JFK library, too, right? Immediately, that was another misreport.
Yeah.
That an explosion had occurred, whereas, in fact, it was a fire.
Yeah. Well, fires do happen. And
yes.
Apparently, that was an accidental fire. And they've looked into that. I've seen some reports on that. It was
right. Some
kind of employee break area, and somebody left something on they shouldn't have. Okay, there's the example. But they still don't know what caused the fire at the fertilizer plant.
Right.
And I just think that's kind of suspicious that would happen there on that day or close to the actual anniversary.
Sure.
And especially during what a crazy week it's been. Then you had the ricin letters. Okay, so some guy supposedly sending letters laced with ricin to Obama, to a Mississippi congressman. And the guy...
Republicans and Democrats, I believe.
I believe so, yeah. Equal opportunity. And the guy being from Mississippi, Elvis impersonator. Well, guess what? He's been let go. Did you hear about this? I just heard about this on the way out over here. He was accused of sending ricin tainted letters to Obama, other officials. He's been released from federal custody. Paul Kevin Curtis, who is an Elvis impersonator. I don't know why that's so important, but everyone calls him that.
I think it's crucial, actually.
That's what he is known for. He was charged with sending a threat to the president last week after letters containing the poison triggered security scares around Washington. But a preliminary hearing that had been scheduled to continue today was canceled, and he was released.
What do you mean he was released?
Apparently, judges can be bribed very easily. No. It's just a joke. Now, there's a bond attached to his release, but the conditions of the bond are under seal at this point. That's according to his attorney. His attorney said her client had been framed by someone who used several phrases Curtis likes to use on social media. Again, we come back to social media. I do believe that someone who is familiar and is familiar with Kevin just simply took his personal information and did this to him. It is absolutely horrific that someone would do this. You know, it's...
This is getting very strange.
It is getting very strange. Now, his lawyer said he's an activist who's passionate about organ and tissue donation. And she says, I have a client who's not only guilty, he's truly 100% innocent. Hopefully, if you're not guilty, you would be 100% innocent. And she acknowledged that he has a history of some mental issues, but said they are not severe. Well, okay, welcome to the club. You know, there's more to the story, obviously. They let the guy go. What's going on here? So that means that the guy who did it is still, or the woman who did it is still out there.
Does the other guy still have three first names?
Everyone down there has three first names.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, what a week. All kinds of craziness happening. And it's not over yet. The remaining brother is now being interrogated or questioned in his hospital bed. And supposedly there have been no connections to any other groups, if you believe him. And you know, basically, I kind of believe the evidence where these guys obviously didn't know what they were doing. You know, they shoot a cop out of panic, apparently. They carjack this other guy and run to ATMs and try to take out money.
Right.
And they don't seem to know how ATMs work either, because they tried to get money out, got to the maximum, then went to another ATM and tried to do the same thing. They talk to each other, folks. You can't just go to another ATM and take out the daily limit there, too. So they kept trying to do that. They let the guy escape. They bragged to the guy, or at least the younger brother bragged to the guy, saying, I did that. I did the Boston bombing. And they stuck around, and they didn't cover their faces. There were so many things they did wrong if they're going to be bona fide terrorists. They were amateurs. It was basically college kids not knowing what they were doing, but clearly doing something truly horrible. It's not the dire international conspiracy against America that the right wing wants. Now, but leading the charge in that, of course, is our Congressman Peter King from right here on Long Island. Embarrassingly
enough,
his
position has shifted east. Isn't that correct?
What do you mean? He represents this area now.
Pretty close, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sees the attacks in Massachusetts as a wake up call to local law enforcement authorities to increase their surveillance and awareness of potential terrorists. Mm-hmm. Police have to be in the community. They have to build up as many sources as they can. They have to realize that the threat is coming from the Muslim community and increase surveillance there. We can't be bound by political correctness, he says. I think we need more police and more surveillance in the communities where the threat is coming from, whether it's the Irish community with the Westies, which is an Irish-American gang in New York City. Did you know about the Westies?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes.
We'll talk after the show. Or the Italian community with the mafia. He used the M word. You're not supposed to do that. There's a code, you know?
And Peter King, who was, you know, of course, a big supporter of one of the largest Irish gangs, which you could be a supporter of or not, the IRA.
The bank people. Yeah, yeah. They always are trying to get me to open an account with them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. And also the Muslim community with Islamic terrorists. He was awfully quick to jump on this, awfully quick to call for surveillance of an entire group of people. Why not just, you know, survey all males, you know, all people of a certain age? Because you'll find most of the threats are coming from there as well. You know,
right.
You can try and generalize as much as possible, but you're not going to learn anything. And you're just going to basically categorize a whole bunch of people in a particular way. We've seen all this before. We've seen it so many different times. You know, where are you when there are the mass shootings? And we have all kinds of people that are real threats to society and kill all kinds of innocent people. Remarkably silent, you know. And that's the other thing that really bugged me last week is the Senate. What happened there with the gun control? You know, it was embarrassing. It really was. You heard about this, right?
Of course. Well, senators can be bought.
Apparently, yeah. Now,
a dime a dozen. Apparently,
this apparently was the vote to strengthen background checks for buying weapons. Something, the latest poll that I saw, 86% of Americans support this.
Right. It wasn't banning any weapons, nothing like that. It was to increase background checks. The areas.
It didn't go far enough because people who doing individual sales, they still didn't have to do a background check, which seems like a pretty big loophole. But it was. Something. It was a step in a direction,
right,
however weak it was. And it actually passed in the Senate. 54 to whatever, 46 or something?
It was close, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it passed. Mm-hmm. But it didn't pass by enough because the Republicans were going to have a filibuster, and the only way to stop a filibuster is to have 60 votes. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
Yep.
Now, I don't know why the Democrats didn't let the filibuster go ahead so we could just see what jerks these people are and let them waste a lot of time. Was there a reason why they just backed down immediately when they only won by 54%?
Because I think that some of them will still wind up getting some cash from some contributors because they backed down. They showed face to a certain degree, and then they backed off.
I think only about three or four senators that voted no are not backed by the NRA,
right.
Do not get money from the NRA. That's something very interesting to focus on. But I think this shows how insane the Senate is, how insane the way it's set up happens to be. Every state gets two senators,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how many people live in that state. Now, there are a lot of states. There's 50 states, I believe. And many of them don't have a lot of people. Some of them only have 500,000 people in them or less than 1 million people. New York State, I did a little research before coming over here. New York State has 19.5 million people in it, all right? And we're generally a liberal place. You know, we've got one of the strictest gun control laws, and we do things like many of the northeastern states in ways that are different than, say, the middle of the country.
Correct.
All right? And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with different ways of living in different parts of the country. However, what happens in the Senate is extremely unfair and imbalanced because every state gets two senators. So let's look at these other states. All of these states voted against increased background checks. Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Alaska, West Virginia, Kansas, Mississippi, Nebraska, Utah. All right. Now, those are just the states I included because I'm adding up the population for those states, all right? And if you add up the populations for those, let's see what we got there, 11 states that I just named, you get 17,878,000. Less. All of those states added together are less than New York. However, that's 22 senators.
Right.
Compared to our two. You see how this is crazy and unfair? I mean, you talk about, you know, trying to prevent the majority from being tyrannical. The tyranny of the majority, I believe, is the phrase. Well, this is tyranny of the minority because so few people have so much mm-hmm. control. And this just demonstrates it, that 86% of Americans want this to go through. It's passed by 54% of the Senate. And obviously, population-wise, it's all askew, and nothing can get done. Nothing can happen. It's ridiculous. It's pathetic.
I actually think, and I don't recall which ones offhand, but some of those states where the senators did vote against, their populations of those states actually were for increased regulation. And the issue here is money. That's it.
Yeah. If you went to every single state where both senators voted against this and assumed that that meant 100% of the population was with them, and you did the same thing for those states where 100% of the people supposedly were behind the two senators who voted for it. Right, is that too complicated?
No.
All right. You added up the population. All right. You get a 2-to-1 majority of the population that is for this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So every state where two senators voted for it, you add that population and put it next to the population of the states that voted against it, where two senators voted against it, 2-to-1. No matter how you look, and of course, that's a flawed statistic because not everybody supports everything.
Right, right, right.
It's not representative for sure. But wow. It's just, I've never seen such a demonstration of the failure of the way this particular country is...
of democracy.
Yeah, of this particular brand of it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the way it works in other countries. And we need to look at that. We need to realize that, you know, things aren't quite the same in other places, and maybe they're doing a better job of it. Every single democratic society in the world has updated their constitution. They've rewritten it. They've updated it for the 20th century, at least, let alone the 21st century. And we're still operating in the 1700s.
Right.
And it's not right. It's not the same world. Back then, there were 13 colonies. All right. The country was not the same by far. There are now 50 states. There were 13 colonies. Obviously, the rules are different. There was a war going on. There were Indians to massacre. There were all kinds of things that are no longer a concern today. So, obviously, things are different, and we shouldn't live by those same words. A society that doesn't grow and adapt and evolve is a society that will not last. And unfortunately, that's what we're looking at right now with people clinging to values of the past and basically creating a society of fear through a relatively small number of people.
It's as if we had Windows 95 and it continued to work. And since it worked, we'd never improve on it.
Now, this is Windows 3.1. Now, this is this
Windows 1?
MS-DOS. This is a UNIVAC mainframe. You know what? It's an abacus. Now, actually, abacus is pretty cool. So since Newtown, there have been 3,513 gun-related deaths. You know what? I printed this out this morning. Obviously, that number has changed since then.
Exactly right.
Okay. Now, it was a tragedy what happened in Boston. 3 people killed at the marathon. A policeman killed afterwards. 4 people total and a bunch of injuries. But 3,513 gun-related deaths since Newtown. You know, that's something you really have to look at. That's something that is huge. And it's indicative of a problem. We live in a country where guns are everywhere. And we can't deny that. You can't deny that. That is a fact. It's easy to get guns in this country. It's easy to stand behind this alleged Second Amendment interpretation. Clearly, it doesn't work. You know, that side has the advantage, and they can get all the guns they want. And obviously, it's not reducing gun violence because we had 3,513 gun-related deaths since Newtown. All right. And that wasn't enough. Newtown wasn't enough. What will be enough? I think keeping the pressure on, not giving up, I think it's really the ball's in our court right now. Not getting too depressed over all this.
Exactly.
And you know, it's a quarter to say, did I really rant for that long? Folks, we got to have some phone calls coming in. 631-632-6901. And okay, you know what? We offered that thing last week, which I still have to work out with my friend from Arizona. Where basically you can own me for an hour and tell me what position I have to take on this show between you and me. We'll figure it out, and we'll do it at a predetermined date, and I'll do an entire show backing a position that you force me to back, and I will not reveal that it was all a ruse until the end of the program. In fact, even Finn won't know. That's for a pledge of $150, all right? For a pledge of $75, you can get every single edition of Off the Wall that was ever created, and you'll get that in full FM sound quality on a flash drive, on a USB drive.
Wow.
Direct from WUSB, yes. That's for a pledge of $75, 631-632-6901. And on top of all that, you know, I'm putting in everything from all the weeks together. I will match whatever pledges come in. So if
wow.
somebody pledges $150, to own me for a week, then you've just pledged $300 to the station and you're only spending $150. Isn't that amazing?
631-632-6901.
You're standing up. Does that mean there's a call? No, there's no call. You're making me like think there's a call coming in. 631-632-6901. As I said, we have met the goal every single week. The goal is only $75. We've met that goal every week. So it would be a shame if the last week of the fundraiser we didn't meet the goal.
631-632-6901. If you think any of these kinds of conversations are important, if you think it's good that we're having them, if you think that we don't just, toe the line of anyone else, give us a call right now, 631-632-6901.
Yeah, all
$75, all the off-the-wall shows, $150. You can make Emmanuel say how much he's, he believes that hacking should be illegal.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example. So you could basically call up
For I believe hacking is illegal.
But morally reprehensible. You can make me take that position for an entire hour. All right. Well, work it out via email or something. And at a predetermined time that only you, the caller, and me, the radio host, will know about, I will, for an entire hour, espouse the position that you tell me to espouse. It's basically the way commercial radio works. You know, you're told to back up this position, and you do, because that's your job. Well, for 1 week, that will be my job. All right. 631-632-6901, $150 pledge. You can embarrass me for all time. And as I said, I will match any pledge that comes in today. So that will be $300 to the radio station. Wow, what a difference that will make. And again, $75 pledge, you'll get every single program we have done here since 2003 up until the present. That's over 10 years of radio, all on a thumb drive. And then you get the thumb drive. It's 32 gigs.
Wow. You know?
That's a big thumb drive.
And that means you can download all the shows, store them on your own computer somewhere, or whatever surreptitious device you own that you don't want anyone to detect, and you'll have a blank drive.
No DRM. No DRM at all. And
correct.
You can share them. You can do whatever you want with them. Put them on your iDevice of whatever nature, and it's yours.
631-632-6901. 631-632-6901. What's the country code?
The country code is 1.
Of
and
course.
If you doubt the power that you have, hear the hopelessness in our voices right now, how negative we sound, and see how that changes if the phone just rings. You know, you have that power to make us feel like the words we say resonate someplace. You don't have to agree with positions that are expressed here, but if you listen, if you're intrigued in any way, that's worth something, isn't it? Because radio is something that needs support. It's something that is not supported by the commercial world. Non-commercial radio is not supported by corporations. It's not supposed to be anyway. It's listeners like you that keep this place going.
631-632-6901.
And also, you know, we have other pledge levels as well. You can pledge certain amounts to get T-shirts and coffee mugs. You can join the 90.1 Club. You can get compact discs of various sorts. They still have compact discs?
I believe they do, yeah. I think they're collectible.
Yeah, well.
631-632-6901. Give us a call right now. I'll pick up the phone, and we can negotiate something for you. 631-632-6901.
Not one call, Finn. Not one call. I don't want to sound negative. You're not supposed to sound negative when you're asking for people to support the radio station. But, you know, and we've been doing this for a few weeks now. But it kind of makes me feel like maybe we can't make change. Maybe we can't make a difference in the world.
I don't know. That's a terrible thought.
It is a terrible thought, but it's what goes through your mind. I'm just being honest here. You know, you need to hear people. You need to hear responses. And I know we get phone calls of people who call in when we take various opinions. But without the radio station, that's not possible.
631-632-6901.
Many pledge levels. From $10 to $1,000. But the important thing is to get a phone call coming in to reach our goal of only $75.
And you're doing matching, right?
I'm doing matching, but only up until 7 o'clock. It's 9 minutes to 7 now.
631-632-6901. Shh.
Yeah, let's not say a word until the phone rings. How about that? Not a single word. You know, I always wonder if the transmitter is working.
631-632-6901. Give us a call. Support WUSB. Support Off the Wall. Support Emmanuel's great work here at the station.
Oh, please.
And
it's adequate work at best.
What it is free thought, and you don't get that anywhere else. Anywhere else.
Well, it's true that I can walk in here and espouse my views of various sorts, and so can you. So listeners can do the same thing. They can join the radio station for one thing, or they can call in when we have call-in segments, or they can write in, or they can invest in the place. It's all a big community, but it's one that's a vital community.
631-632-6901.
The phone's ringing. The phone is ringing. And I actually feeling that strange sensation I get sometimes, you know, of what is that? Happiness? It's been a while. But I won't be truly happy until I know that that's not just somebody calling to see the phone ring. It's somebody calling to actually pledge support. And since, well, Finn's laughing. Finn is laughing loud and long. Okay, I guess that's a good sign. All right. Well, all right. We have other things to focus on as well. You know, I'd like to go out on something that is it's fairly positive, because we've been focusing on the negative. We've been focusing on all this terror and inability to move forward and things like that. I want to show people that, you know what, things are possible. Change is possible. I've been cleaning out a closet for the past month or so. And it happens to be a closet that is filled with relics from the past. And unfortunately, it's also the closet that is right below the bathtub I filled up during Hurricane Irene and forgot that it was being filled, and it kind of flooded. So I lost a lot of mementos, which is probably a good thing, because if you gather too much of this, it really can weigh you down. Many things survived, and many things live on to this day. This is something I found from my collection of periodicals. It's from an organization back in the 1980s called the Liberty Federation. And they sent me, for some reason I got on their mailing list, they sent me their newspaper called the Liberty Report. And what they said in this letter is something that really resonates today, because it shows how much things have changed in the mainstream society. This briefing, as they call it, is called Homosexuals, a Threat to the Nation's Moral Health. And it goes like this. Homosexuals are one of the most threatening elements to the physical and moral well-being of American society. Because of their sexual conduct, the high number and anonymity of their sexual partners, homosexuals are carriers of deadly public health diseases, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, cytomegalovirus, I've never heard of that one, gonorrhea, syphilis, herpes, and AIDS are among the sexually transmitted diseases carried by homosexuals. Adult theaters and arcades, homosexual bathhouses, public parks, including park restrooms, parking lots, and wooded park areas, public restrooms, notably those in large shopping centers, and homosexual bars are the locations most frequently used by homosexuals to meet one another and or perform homosexual deviant intercourse. Yeah. Another aspect of the homosexual community is that homosexuals are often very violent. Many homosexuals placed under arrest will fight viciously. Many police officers who pose as homosexuals to find male prostitutes testify that it is the most dangerous aspect of undercover work. I'm reading a briefing that I found,
yes,
in my closet.
it's in the closet.
It's all kinds of things you can do with that statement. How do we do here? Oh,
very
thank
nice.
You.
Nice little gift from Anthony in Manorville.
All right, thank you, Anthony.
Who vehemently, by the way, disagrees with your position, but that's a wonderful
awesome
thing.
Awesome. That's what we live for.
That's
people
what we
disagree.
Like.
Hopefully you don't disagree with this position now, because this is something that was mainstream only a decade or two ago. In spite of such deviant behavior, homosexuals would have local governments believe that people do not have a right to discriminate against homosexuals who flaunt their perverted lifestyle. Yeah. The right to discriminate. Unfortunately, many municipalities have extended some form of special protection to homosexuals in areas of public employment, housing, education, credit, and even affirmative action. Homosexuals claim they need special civil rights protection because employees and landlords often discriminate against them upon learning of their sexual orientation. As a result, the homosexual lobby is working to obtain the same anti-discrimination protection now afforded to legitimate minority groups such as blacks. Yeah, legitimate minority groups. Even though the homosexual chooses his lifestyle. Many black leaders claim the inclusion of homosexuals as a minority group is having an eroding effect on legitimate civil rights protections. It just goes on and on and on. I just want to read a couple of the highlights here. Despite some setbacks, many experts feel that the gay rights movement, which has repeatedly failed to get Congress to pass a gay rights bill, is working very hard at the municipal level to obtain homosexual rights on a piecemeal basis. However, homosexuals have not been successful where vigorous opposition has formed. Columbus, Ohio, a gay rights ordinance was successfully defeated. In Houston, Texas, two ordinances mandating preferential treatment for homosexuals were rescinded after 80% of the voters rejected the measures. A major defeat for homosexuals recently occurred when the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a Texas anti-sodomy law. The Texas law makes it illegal for those of the same sex to engage in oral and anal sodomy. The court ruled that homosexual conduct is not protected by the U.S. Constitution. The court said that neither the right of privacy nor the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution were violated. The court stated, "The statute is directed at certain conduct, not at a class of people." Though the conduct be the desire of the bisexually or homosexually inclined, there is no necessity that they engage in it. The court further stated that even if the existence of the statute is a symbolic stigma against homosexually active persons, the stigma is due to the decision of the people of Texas that homosexual conduct is morally wrong. Continuing, the court said, in view of the strong objection to homosexual conduct which has prevailed in Western culture for the past 7 centuries, the state has the legitimate purpose of implementing morality and decency. It goes on and on. There's much more to this, but that is how our country felt a mere 2 decades ago. Obviously, not a lot of people that we know, but enough to make that the prevailing opinion. And now look at what has happened today. Look at how society has changed. I bring this up because it may seem hopeless right now that we will never change, we will never be able to get to a certain point, and that we're forever mired in a violent culture where we have to deal with things that don't seem to make any sense, and we have to have a government system that doesn't seem to work despite what people want. We have the Electoral College that makes very, very little sense. And it's easy to fall into this despair that we feel things just will never change. It's not true. Things do change. And we saw that in the last election. We saw all kinds of initiatives move forward. We've seen change in the last 5 or 6 years even. So it does happen. It only happens, though, if we continue to push, to continue to keep the pressure on, and never give up. And I think that kind of epitomizes what we do here at the radio station. Well, we try to do it off the wall. And hopefully that'll help us all realize I don't know what's going on in the other room. Hopefully people will realize that we've got a good thing here. It's worth supporting. And give us a call, 631-632-6901. Hey, we're out of time. Finn's up next. It's Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Write to us, otw@2600.com. See you next time. Good night.
Let the rain fall on my tombstone and wash away my name. And let me lie in my unmarked grave in the earth, revolving around the sun, unconscious, skinless, and at complete rest. Let the atoms that make up my bones dissipate and return to the earth, unconscious in rest, returning to Mother Earth, free of humanity, free of humanity, animals that have everything and nothing, humanity, enemy of the earth. Oh, blow yourself away, blow yourself away, humanity. The sooner you turn yourself back to atoms, the better, the sooner the better. Conscious life is a waste anyway. The earth can do without you. Let me lie in my unmarked grave, unable to see and hear and feel, revolving around the sun and skins, returning to the atomic sea, atom by atom by atom by atom.